This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06 in the evening. You are with Lynn and Ayman, and our first story of the day, of course, is a popik. And today, what we're popiking about is the performance of athletes in international sporting events and how it all ties to national pride. Now, you can probably guess that this is coming because of our recent performance in the SEA Games, and our youth and sports minister, YB Syed Saddiq, has basically taken the blame for that.
Yeah, so Malaysia targeted 70 gold medals during the SEA Games, but you know, we did not meet that target. We ended up with 56 gold, 57 silver and 71 bronze medals. And some of the reasons behind this was attributed to things like overconfidence for several sports like archery and tenpin bowling, as well as the introduction of new sports which made it difficult for athletes to compare their targets.
Yeah, so I know that there's been a lot of discussion around this, right? And a lot of people sort of attempting to fall on their swords and then also going, yeah, but actually it's also the weather, but actually it's also all these different things. But beyond all that, I think an interesting conversation to have really is about how much of our national identity is tied to how well we do in sports. You know, it's often said that one of the few things that unites all Malaysians, you know, almost instantly, aside from food, is sport. You know, whenever our football team goes out there, Lee Chong Wei for the longest time, Nicole David for the longest time. And so I think part of the anxiety and the oh-no-ness of this is coming from that, right? Like, how can we lose this thing that we've always had?
Yeah, I mean, there's no denying that, you know, when you're in the moment, sports can become really, can be very emotional as a sports fan. When your favorite athlete wins, then the whole country wins, and that becomes a source of national pride. But I do think that, you know, the emotions, the intensity of it is a bit short term. It doesn't last like the rest of the year or the rest of your life. Basically, it's just for that tournament. You know, okay, we're competing for this gold, we want to win this cup. So we support our team right until we win it. I think it depends on the different degrees of the sport. If it's something that we are known to be good at, then it does become, you know, the source of national pride. Things like badminton, for example. You know, we expect our athletes to win that one, and when maybe if they fall short, then we do feel that sort of sense of disappointment. But I don't think that it equates to an erosion of national pride. For me personally, I'm still proud of our athletes, no matter their achievements. If they win, of course, I'm very proud of them. If they don't win, it doesn't mean that, you know, I'm no longer proud of our athletes. I will always be proud of our athletes, regardless of, you know, the outcome of their performance.
So I think it's perhaps more fitting to say that there is a sense of disappointment. I think more so than an erosion of pride, I think it's more like a concern, right? Like, because for the longest time, again, whenever we see whenever there's a big loss, or for that matter, during the retirement of Datuk Lee Chong Wei, Datuk Nicole David, there was this worry of where's the next one? And so I think the worry there is more so to do with, is this thing that has always bound us going to fray? Because as we know, with fair weather fans of football teams, you know, people tend to lose patience when you go too long without having anything to show for it. I agree that, like, no matter what, you are proud of people who dedicate themselves to a sport, right? Who take the time to do this thing, to represent the country. It's not an easy thing to do. But that doesn't change the fact that I think that we also want to win. Like, fundamentally, there is a desire to win and a worry that if you don't, like, what does that mean for us as a sporting nation, right? So we're talking today about the performance of Malaysia when it came to the recent SEA Games. And we'd like to hear from you. I mean, how do you, is sports still that big uniting force in our country? You know, do we need to be concerned about this recent performance? Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
So this being Popik, of course, we wanted to get the opinion of the public on this matter regarding athlete performance and national pride. So we wanted to know if, you know, people were disappointed with how Malaysia performed in the SEA Games, and this is what they said.
As a Malaysian, yes, it would be disappointing. It is disappointing because in SEA Games, I think Malaysia is one of the top contenders. So they should bring more medals than they have showed.
Not at all. No, I'm actually really proud of our team. So I'm not disappointed. I'm glad that Malaysians are now going to the SEA Games and representing Malaysia, to be honest.
Not really. For a bit of context, I haven't really been following the SEA Games. I only know bits and pieces from things I see on social media. So I do know about stuff like we've won, I think, esports, or which is something new. I think that's pretty cool. But I don't really have, say, like, you know, disappointment or anything. Instead, I'm really excited about the different categories like esports making a name.
So most of our respondents also felt that this just doesn't affect their sense of national pride.
It doesn't affect my national pride because I'm already quite happy that Malaysians are now going to the SEA Games representing Malaysia. I feel like it's a really good small step, but I know Malaysians can do better.
Of course not. These things that happened, it didn't affect my sense of national pride.
Not really, because some of the sports that normally unites us, like badminton, does deliver the goal. So, not really.
And when it came to the question of whether sports is the only thing that can unite Malaysians, this is what they said.
I can't say it's the only thing, but it's one of the main things. Other than that, to unite Malaysians, I guess, by music, by other stuff, like entertainment besides sports, you can unite Malaysians as one as well, yeah.
Not really. It's one way, sports, and then we have festivities, public holidays.
Definitely not. I feel like there are many things and ways to unite Malaysians. For example, food. We have a lot of food from Indian culture, Malay culture and Chinese culture that can bring people together.
No. There's a lot more things that unites us Malaysians, not just sports. Maybe like recreation and all that.
I knew food would come up.
Yeah, of course.
So we're talking today about the SEA Games and how we targeted 70 gold medals and we didn't quite meet that. And we've heard the Youth and Sports Minister, Syed Saddiq, basically saying he's going to take the blame for this. And what do you think? How did we do in the recent SEA Games? Were you disappointed? Do you think that kind of getting that next big national hero is a major part of being able to unite Malaysians? Call us and let us know. 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking after this with Callum Gilmore, who is an assistant lecturer at the School of Arts and Social Sciences at Monash University. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:14 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Ayman, and we're talking about the SEA Games. More specifically, we're talking about Malaysia's performance within it and whether or not it impacts, our sense of maybe not national pride, but whether or not we find ourselves disappointed by it, right? And how sports plays a role in kind of uniting us all, especially during these big international moments. If you have thoughts, you can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So joining us on the line is Callum Gilmore, assistant lecturer at the School of Arts and Social Sciences at Monash University. Callum's recent research focuses on the sociology of sport and the media sport cultural complex. Callum, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, can you talk us through the significance of countries setting medal targets when it comes to tournaments and situations like the SEA Games?
Well, it does tend to be standard practice amongst national Olympic committees, but it also kind of sets you for a fall because perennially these countries don't always meet those targets. And then we tend to have the situation that we're having in Malaysia at the moment where the actual performance didn't meet the target setting.
And how are these goals set? Like, what do they look at?
Well, they tend to look at previous performance. They tend to use metrics in terms of looking at current performances from athletes across the competition and how that might find, for instance, in Malaysia's case, sports in which they can expect to get a gold medal. But again, these things tend to be sort of hypothetical because, a computer can't actually work out what's going to happen on the play of sport, on the field of sport.
Mm. So with this shortfall, what are the consequences of Malaysia failing to meet these targets that we've set?
Well, actually, if you look at Malaysia's recent history in the SEA Games, you could say that this is all kind of like an online storm in a teacup, because actually their performance was incredibly consistent with how they've done in recent years. So the SEA Games, like many other multi-sport events, the home team tends to do very, very well. So if you look at sort of the past five or six SEA Games, you'll find that the host nation has either come first or second in the medal tally. So that is normally, you know, the home team tends to do better than it does when it's not the home side. And of course, for Malaysia, this is kind of compounded by the fact that Malaysia hosted the last SEA Games and therefore did very, very well, as I think getting 145 gold medals. And so obviously there's a comparison now. But if you actually look at Malaysia's performance in recent SEA Games, they've gotten 55 golds. We got in 2019, 62 in 2015, 43 in 2013, 58 in 2011. So actually it's a very, very consistent performance.
And do you think that Malaysians are affected by our less than stellar performance?
Well, I was listening to your Vox Populi just before the break there as well, and I think that that was fairly level-headed response from the public there, that this is just a sporting event, and all sporting events, success is cyclical. You also mentioned the fact that, you know, Malaysia is now looking for its new sporting heroes because we've had a couple of major sporting stars retire this year, and so there's a kind of like a void there for a new hero. Although I might add that Safari Rasid, the footballer, I think is probably going to fill that void because I believe Malaysia has a potential superstar there.
Can we talk a little bit about that national sporting hero, right? Like, I mean, is it important to have that? And is it important to have that in, I suppose, a recognizable sport? Because there has also often been this criticism that we don't look to the sports that maybe haven't traditionally made headlines, right? We tend to look at football, at badminton, things like that. Even Datuk Nicole David, you could argue, didn't get the shine that she perhaps would have if she had been in a sport that people played more commonly.
Well, I mean, you know, badminton and squash are global sports, but you're right in that they don't, you know, assume the same attention that say tennis might, or basketball, or certain sports. But it also just tends to be about what is popular in the region. So badminton is incredibly popular in this region, and that's why Malaysia has consistently produced, you know, fantastic athletes in that particular sport. And so there's no shame in that. If you want to do well in those sports, it takes huge amounts of money and long-term investment. None of this happens overnight. If a country decides that they want to target specific sports, then the money has to flow, and the institutional funding and the coaching and the talent identification and nurturing those talents, all of this takes decades, it could be argued. There are no short-term fixes to that.
Do all countries get into national sports in the same ways that Malaysians do? And how much do sports make up a country's identity?
Well, actually, I think it differs from nation to nation. I'm from Australia. Australia is obsessed with sport and sporting performance. I would argue too much in terms of its national identity. And so similarly in Australia, when the Olympic team doesn't do as well as expected, there tends to be national hand-wringing, such as what's happening in Malaysia right now. And so, yes, it certainly is a major part of national identity. But as you know, your listeners indicated earlier, there are many, many other kind of more consistent outliers of national identity than sport. As I said, sport is very cyclical. So you will have the good times and you will also have the bad times.
So it was the first major sporting event for the new youth and sports minister, Syed Saddiq, who has said that he's going to shoulder the blame of the country's performance. Could more have been done to, I guess, support and better prepare our athletes? Or as you say, you know, this was a consistent performance and we should just leave it at that.
Well, I think it was a consistent performance. And I think he's unlucky that the last SEA Games were held in Malaysia under a previous government. So now there's all this comparing and contrasting between previous government, current government that's going on at the moment, when the fact remains that it was a home SEA Games, and that generally means that the host nation will do far, far better. And as I said earlier, if Malaysia really wants to do well in that field, in the sporting field, it will take much sort of long-term planning. And whether that's even needed, spending that amount of money in a developing country, because perhaps the money could be spent on other things, other priorities such as education, health, infrastructure, rather than investing in sports. But there is, it should be added, there is a very clear link between investment and success. So, for instance, I remember in 1996, Great Britain won only one gold medal at the Atlanta Olympic Games, and they decided to shift funding from the national lottery into elite sports funding, and they went from one gold medal in 1996 to having 29 golds in London in 2012 and 27 golds in Rio in 2016. But that took massive, massive investment.
So during the recent SEA Games, we had our first esports champion, Dr. Yu Wenkeng, who won gold for Hearthstone. Where do you see Malaysia going with esports? And can it garner the same sort of fandom and support from Malaysians that we've seen with traditional sports like badminton?
I think it actually can. If my students are anything to go by in talking to them, many of them are huge fans of esports. And esports is going to be a medal event at the 2022 Asian Games, and there's a very significant push to have it included in the Olympic Games. So maybe Malaysia's first Olympic gold medal will actually come from an esports participant. And if that happens, then I think they'll be able to write their own check, becoming Malaysia's first gold medal winner.
So we've talked already about the home country effect that can rub off in terms of that medal tally. But countries like Thailand and Vietnam have also emerged as victors in the SEA Games. What do you think are the contributing factors to their rising success?
Well, I think that when you look back at the history of the SEA Games, actually you'll find that they've done, again, fairly consistently. That it's not that they've had a sudden success they've never had before. Those countries have been historically successful in the SEA Games. And it's important to remember that the SEA Games in Southeast Asia, its significance is far more important sort of culturally than it is in terms of like on the global stage. There are only 11 nations that participate in the SEA Games, so actually you have a very good chance of getting a medal. And because the SEA Games actually involves playing against your closest geographical rivals, so you get to have the Indonesia versus Malaysia, Singapore versus Malaysia rivalries. That tends to heighten the perceived significance of the event here, I think, much like the Suzuki Cup in football, which garners huge crowds in Malaysia, usually bigger than what Malaysia would get for its World Cup qualifiers, for instance, because of the intensity of those regional rivalries. So I think that actually performance in the Asian Games, the Commonwealth Games, and the Olympics is actually of far more importance than the SEA Games, and I don't think there's anything for Malaysia to be too upset about in terms of its current performance.
Callum, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
That was Callum Gilmore, Assistant Lecturer at the School of Arts and Social Sciences at Monash University, talking to us about, basically how we should perceive, right? How we should perceive the sort of storm in a teacup situation that's going on around our medal tally. So we've been asking you for your thoughts. And broadly speaking, everybody is just being the sweetest. So Cheryl Akma says, I'm proud of the athletes. I blame the sports ministry for their failure to meet the target. How did they even set the goals? Were they just shocks and eerie?
Well, based on what Callum told us, it is based on metrics and past performances. So I guess they did think that 70 gold medals was attainable, but unfortunately we didn't achieve that.
Call us and let us know. 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.